It's our interest in your prayers this morning. Very blessed this morning. I'm rich. Rich to be in the presence of the Lord today. I'd like to share the burden that the Lord had put on my heart on the subject of a bag with holes. If you will turn with me to the book of Haggai in the first chapter, just to give a little bit of background of this passage, the children of Israel had been in captivity in Babylon, and they had been, at this occasion, they had been released from that captivity. And some of them have been allowed to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And so this is the situation that the prophet is speaking of. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now folks, it's one thing for us to tell each other, consider your ways. But when the Lord speaks, we better listen. And the Lord came to the children of Israel, and thus saith the word of the Lord of hosts, consider. Yes. In other words, think about what you're doing. Yes. Don't just gloss over what you're doing. I know sometimes when children may be misbehaving, and you say, "Now, what are you doing?" And they just kind of gloss over it, just kind of move on to something else. It's like, no, let's think about this. Do you really know what you're doing? Do you understand the outcomes of your behavior? Well, the Lord was saying, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And if you read this passage a little bit more, you will find that the children of Israel had come back to Jerusalem and they had begun to build the temple. They built the foundation and they started the building, but then they started working on their own homes. Then they started sowing their own fields. The focus began to get off of God's work. The focus got off of building the temple, and they started making themselves very nice houses. They were building, you read in here, houses with vaulted ceilings. They were nice places. And the Lord was saying, consider your ways. You have spent so much effort now. For 14 years, the temple lay unfinished. For 14 years, it had been unfinished. And the Lord came along and said, do you all know what you're doing? He said, you're focusing on your own homes and your own prosperity, but the reality is you are not prospering. He said, you've sown, but they have very little harvest. He said, you're eating, but you're never full. There's never an abundance of food. And he said, he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You know what that means? You go and you work and you get some wages, and it just seems like there's nothing that you're saving. You're walking around with a bag and nothing's in it. You earn a little money, and the next day you say, how much do you have in your billfold? Well, it's all gone. I spent it all. There's nothing to show for it. And the Lord was saying, in your effort to invest in yourself, you let my work go by the wayside. Yes. And he said, consider your ways, because you really haven't been prospering. Well, I've been had opportunity for many years to be in Malawi, the country of Malawi. It's the number one poorest country in the world. Number one. And they are subsistence farmers there. And do you know what subsistence means? Someone know what to be a subsistence farmer? Someone help me out. What's that mean? They're survivalists. That, you look it up. That's what it means. If you're subsisting, you're just you're trying to make it. You're trying to survive, but there's no abundance. There's no abundance. They live from hand to mouth. They live from harvest to harvest. And it's the reason about every other year they are in famine conditions. It's not a pleasant thing to wake up in the middle of the night from a text from the brother in Malawi, having gotten word from some of the ministers that some of the people have died in the church of God because they didn't have food to eat. That's a reality. They're living from hand to mouth, and when the rains don't come, they don't have anything to eat. They don't have a backup plan. They don't have anywhere to turn. And they suffer. Well, here, when you're subsisting, it means that you don't have the abundance, you don't have laid up, and you kind of have a bag with holes in it. Right. Anything you make, you go and buy enough food for the family, and tomorrow you look in the bag and there's nothing in it. It's all been used up. Well, I had opportunity to share some financial lessons with a number of some of them from Malawi. They never heard teaching like that before. You know the Bible says a lot about finances?
Yes, it does.
A lot about, you say, well, Brother Michael, that's not spiritual. Tell you, you get in financial problems, you'll find out how spiritual it really is.
Right.
It will affect your spirit. Mm-hmm. And it had opportunity to share some basic principles that were laid down in the Word of God. And they were so excited.
Yes.
They said, you need to go and teach all of the people this. And I'm not a farmer, but there I picked up just a little bit here and there. And I began to share some basic things about farming methods. And they were so excited about that. Lord willing, in about 3 months, I'm going to go back and get some training myself on farming. You never know where the Lord's going to take you. I'm going to go get some agricultural training in September, Lord willing, from some others that I can know maybe how to help them a little bit more. But do you know this morning that we live in a society, even here in America, we say this is a place of prosperity. But do you know what the debt is of the average family in this country? It's horrible. The debt of our country itself, of individuals, they're walking around with a bag with holes in it. They go out and they earn some money, and what they're doing is they're thinking about today. And so they spend what they get, and they're not thinking about tomorrow. Now, it is true that there are people that have, if you don't have, you don't have. So don't misunderstand the burden this morning. There are people financially that the revenue's too low. It's not a spending problem, it's an income problem. But there are some people that have ample income, and they're just subsisting. They're living from paycheck to paycheck, and there's always a lot of stress and worry. What are we going to do? We don't know how we're going to make it. Number one cause of marriage problems too, isn't it? Number one cause of divorce, I believe, as well. It's not infidelity. It's money problems. I say that's a spiritual issue. We need to be careful, folks, just on a fine, and we're going to move on from finances in a little bit. But there's a parallel here the Lord wants us to get hold of. And if it helps someone financially along the way, that's good. You young people, listen up now. You need to learn not to be carrying around a bag with holes in it. In other words, don't live for today. I told them in Malawi, I asked them, I said, when the rains don't come, I said, is there anything that you can grow that doesn't need as much rain? And they said, potatoes. And I said, why don't you grow potatoes? And they said, well, the people like maize. I said, but you don't have maize. You don't have maize. So why don't you take some of your field, just a small plot, and plant something that you're assured is going to grow? And when the rains don't come, you've at least planned for tomorrow. You plan for the difficult times. And maybe you'll have a little something there to eat. Ask them about the seed that they use to plant. And the government provides, or you have to pay for it, but there's a hybrid seed that is more drought resistant. It's not the answer to all their problems. It's not the answer to all their problems. But some people, they said, we don't want to plant the hybrid seed because we like the taste of the other one better. So during times of drought, and we can shake our heads, but there's hundreds of years That there's been something developed that we like this sea. And I said, I would rather have food in my belly and go to bed with something to eat and it didn't taste quite as good. I said, you need to start using the hybrid seed that's being provided. And they were open to that. They were really, you should have seen their faces. They were excited to hear some basic things that they could start planning and working on. Talked about saving money. You know, I told them one of the most important things you can do if you want to have a good crop, you've got to fertilize. And what a lot of people say is we can't afford to fertilize. And I tried to impress upon them, you can't afford not to fertilize. Because you can get 2 or 3 times the amount of harvest if you'll fertilize your crops. So the first thing you do when you harvest your crops is you take aside the certain amount of money that comes from that and say, this is for seed and fertilizer for next season. And I said, even if you're hungry, don't touch that money. Yes. I'm not talking about starving here.
Right.
But I'm saying you put that away.
Yes.
Because start thinking about tomorrow. Folks, the Lord wants us to consider our ways too. Think about tomorrow. Don't just think about, well, this is what sounds good today. We live in a world that is just, they're living on the edge financially. And it's brought a lot of problems for people. Impulsive buying. Does anybody know what that is? Impulsive buying. Go to the store and say, oh, it's a good deal. I love, when I go to Kohl's, I give the salesman a bad time. A good time. They're laughing with me. But or wait until the end and they're trained to do this because I've asked them about it. You go to Kohl's and buy something, they don't say, well, you spent $25. That's not, oh, absolutely. They say, you saved $25. And I said, I thought I just spent $25. But they're wanting you to start thinking about the savings, and we need to start thinking about our spending. You see, that's what's getting a lot of homes in trouble, is they're thinking about, well, I was such a good deal. Do you know I found that good deals are going to come along tomorrow too? And if you don't have the money to pay for it today, and I don't have my billfold with me, and people pull out that piece of plastic, you know what I'm talking about? And say, I'm saving money because it's such a good deal. You're going to get yourself in trouble. That's how debt starts adding up 25 cents at a time, too. It adds up, and pretty soon you get to the end of the month, and you look and you say, how did that happen? And you look down through the list and think, well, that wasn't very much, and that wasn't very much. And that you start adding up those little things, and it adds up a lot, doesn't it? Talking about a bag with holes.
Yes, yes.
It'll hinder your prosperity.
Yes.
The Scripture says in Proverbs 22:7, it said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Right. Do you know that there is a freedom to be free from debt?
Yes.
If you've ever heard Dave Ramsey, and you know the principles that Dave Ramsey puts up, we grew up as children hearing those things. Thanks, Dad. But those are things that's not Dave Ramsey stuff. He's just telling common sense. You know, that stuff, you just be careful. Think about tomorrow. And you hear people getting on his radio show yelling, I'm debt free. You know what a relief it is just to say, you know what, I may not have much in my pockets, but thank God I'm debt free. Don't owe a man anything. Well, the Scripture says, owe no man anything but love one another, doesn't it? Something about that? In other words, be careful about living with a bag with holes in it.
Yes.
Just impulsive spending. Well, it takes people that find themselves in debt. It takes a plan to get out. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen by itself. You have to have a plan to get out of debt. And it takes diligence. It takes, when there's just a little $5 thing, you say, oh, I'm going to get that. It's like, wait a minute. I could pay off $5 of debt. You have to have a plan in place. You have to be diligent about it. In other words, you've got to start plugging the holes. You understand? You've got to start plugging the holes if we want to get out with a plan. Over in the 6th chapter of Proverbs, in the 6th verse, he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard.
Right.
Consider her ways and be wise. So what does the ant do? It said they have no guide or overseer or ruler, but they provide her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? Wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. You know, it is not holy to be subsisting. You know, there's been a time in our history, I think even in the church, I wouldn't be too far off, that there was almost poverty was equated with holiness. That's not what I read in the Word of God. I read about selling and giving it all to God. I read about consecrating and giving it all to the Lord, but I also read about being good stewards. I read about being diligent. I read about being faithful. I read about being careful with my finances and planning for tomorrow. Today, if I have a little extra, I say, well, I can go out to eat on that extra. Well, what are you going to eat tomorrow? Well, let tomorrow take care. I don't know. We'll see tomorrow. That's not wise. You got a bag with holes in it. A lot of people, young people, don't plan to start off like mom and dad. We live where there's a lot of money that flows through people's pocket. The problem is it just keeps flowing, subsisting from paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes there's a revenue problem, but a lot of times it's a spending issue. It's lack of forethought, planning for tomorrow. Well, lay up in store for tomorrow. That's the lesson of the end, isn't it? There's going to come a time when we're not going to have as much, so we need to lay something up in store. The question is, when are we supposed to lay up in store? As soon as you start getting a harvest. As soon as you harvest. Because there's never a convenient time. Young people, there's always going to be things you want to buy. There's always going to be specials. That means there's going to be a special next week too. So if you still have money that you've laid aside for the future and you're able to do it, take advantage of the special. But be sure it's based on a good plan that you're preparing for tomorrow. Don't get yourself, young people, you will save yourself a lot of mental and emotional and spiritual stress and problems if you will start your life out without debt. And if you have some, get a plan, get it paid off. Think about tomorrow. Think about what the Word says. Consider your ways. Well, you know the power of compound interest, don't you? We talked about 25 cents yesterday morning. I'd like to talk about $3 for just a moment. $3 a day. The young people the other day went and got a drink somewhere. It was some kind of a chocolate-shaped drink thing. And they came back in. I said, how much did that cost? $4 and something. And the thing is, they caught one the day before. Someone else paid for it. But then it was so good, they wanted it the next day. And it wouldn't surprise me if today they said, hey, anybody want to go get a drink? That was pretty good shake on a hot day. $4 a day. You say, Brother Michael, $4. I want to tell you, I ran the figures on $3. $3 a day. $90 a month, isn't it? $1,080 a year. Is that right? All right, you young people, I'm just going to give you a little advantage here. I'm going to start at age 20. You say, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to plug the hole. $3 a day. And I'm going to invest that. At 20 years old, I'm going to start doing that until I reach 65 years old. You invest that $3 a day and make an average of, say, 8%. I think the average in the stock market is actually 7%. Sometimes it's more, sometimes less. The average is 7. I'm talking about investing now. Putting it away in good times and in bad times. It's about consistency. Well, think the economy's not looking real good, so I'd rather just go have my drink. No, you put it away in good times and bad times. And from age 20 to age 65, that $3 will be $435,000. Now, you say, Brother Michael, that's the power. That's the power of compound interest. And people say, well, I reach old age and my heart goes out. I've been in homes of people that are elderly and they were taught against putting away. I want you young people to know you've got a biblical responsibility to think about tomorrow. Our trust is not in these uncertain riches. It can be gone like that. It can be gone like that. Our trust is in the Lord, but we also have a responsibility to be a steward of what God has entrusted us with. And so $3 a day, can you do that? Maybe I can handle $2. Well, wonderful. Maybe you can handle a little bit more. And do you know, the thing about it is, if you wait till age 60, that $3 a day would have only been about $200,000+, but you put 5 more years with it, it almost doubled. It goes like that. It almost doubled. But we're talking about a bag with holes. Just you get a little bit, and I told him in Malawi, I said, even if you don't have very much, if you could take just a little bit and just put it away. And when the hard times come, we've got something to go back to. Maybe instead of eating this much today, I can eat this much today. And I've got a little bit to put away for when I have nothing. Folks, living on the financial edge is not holiness. Now, there are times that everybody goes through financial difficulties, right? And the Lord understands that, but He wants us to be good stewards. He wants to work with us. Now, I'd like us to change direction a little bit with that as a foundation. The children of Israel were not prospering. They were working. But they were taking their efforts and they were putting it in their own houses and their own harvest. And the Lord said, my work is suffering. Spiritually, things are suffering because you're not putting me first in your life. And He said, so really, even their harvests weren't yielding as well as they could have. And even their, and again, they had a bag with holes. They're just never quite making it. Always in survival mode. Do you know how uncertain and how much fear there is with that? I don't know if I'm going to have enough to give to my family tomorrow. There's a lot of stress in that. I don't know if I'm going to have enough to see us through. Folks, spiritually, there are too many subsistence Christians. Subsistence farmers are those that are living from hand to mouth. They're living day to day. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And they're barely making it. And the Lord began to speak and said, there's too many Christians that are walking around with a spiritual bag that has holes in it. They're trying to make it from camp meeting to camp meeting, and they're barely dragging through. Folks, the Lord, the Scripture in Proverbs 10:22 say, the blessings of the Lord, what does it do?
It maketh rich.
Do you know, Sister Bowman, I am rich this morning. I am rich this morning, thank God. I don't have a lot of money, but I am rich in the love of God. I'm rich by the grace of God that sees me. I have a healer this morning. I have someone that when I'm sick, He comes along and He's my healer. And when He chooses not to, He's my comforter in the sickness. I have someone that's my Savior. Brother James talked about that friend. Do you know that we are rich this morning?
Yes.
But if you're a subsistence Christian, it means you're living from spiritual high to spiritual high, and you're about dead in between. Mm-hmm. If I can just make it to next Monarch, and then I'll get this other, get enough that I can kind of see me through the year. Folks, the Lord has something better for us spiritually this morning.
Yes.
The Lord has an experience that we can be rich every single day because of our connection with God. Well, there's some lessons to be learned. The Scripture, Proverbs 90, verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, teach us to number our days. In other words, it's just like with money. Don't just be living for today, but think about tomorrow. Number your days spiritually. Do you know there's a day coming that we're going to stand before God? There's going to come a day that we're going to give an account of the things that we did today. There's going to come a day that there's going to be some consequences from the spiritual decisions that we're making today. There's consequences, folks. And He said, teach us, Lord, to number our days. I don't want to spiritually have a bag with holes in it. But Lord, I want to think about tomorrow. The decision I'm making today, what are the consequences of it? You young people, the choices that you're making, they're going to have consequences. How is it going to affect you down the road? Don't have a bag with holes in it where you're just thinking about the moment. This feels good, I want to do it. That's what the world's doing. If it feels good, do it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Folks, spiritually, just like financially, we need to think about the consequences of what our behaviors and choices are going to be tomorrow. We need to look beyond the moment. The Scripture says to seek ye first what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the material things that we need, the Lord knows that you have need of those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That was the problem with the children of Israel. They began to focus on themselves rather than the work that God had for them to do. And so then He said, you're like you have a bag with holes in it. Well, the same thing applies to us today as Christians. I do not want to be a subsistence Christian. Always in emergency mode. I'm always going from crisis to crisis, and I'm barely making it, and I'm dragging through. Say, Brother Michael, do you have the victory? Do you like that question? Do you have the victory? Like, well, I'm saved. That's not what I ask. Do you have the victory? Do you know there is a place this morning? And again, we go through financial wildernesses, and folks, there are some spiritual wildernesses we're going to go through too. There are. But when we get in the spiritual wilderness, if your bag has been plugged in its holes, you're going to know by the grace of God, I'm going to come out on the other end of this. Because my mind is fixed. My heart is set. Then I'm going to be diligent and faithful, Lord, and I'm going to be consistent in my service to You. Well, over in Acts 11:23, the people there were exhorted. He said that with purpose of heart, that you would cleave to the Lord. If you are just kind of dragging through, a subsistence Christian, you got a bag with holes in it, you come and you get revived at camp meeting, and then by next month rolls around, you're just back to the same old place. Well, I'm just barely making it. Folks, God has something better for us than that. A lot of it has to do with us, though. What are we doing with what God has entrusted us with? Well, with purpose of heart. Financially, if you want to get out of debt, you're in deep. You've got to have some purpose of heart. And folks, spiritually, it's the same way. If you want to live so that you can prosper spiritually, you're going to have purpose of heart. No matter what happens, when I got married to my wife, I made some vows to her and she made them to me. Do you know there's something, there was power in that? Because we made a decision. We made a purpose and a decision. And it stuck. Do you know that's the same way it is with our relationship with God? Yeah, I know sometimes we struggle and sometimes there are battles, folks, and the devil's resisting. But when you've got a purpose that, Lord, I made a decision to follow You until the day I die and I'm going to stay faithful, folks, He can get you out of some hard places. But you've got to have the purpose. And you also have to have a plan. Got to have a plan. One of the things that, if you're in debt and you want to prosper, you're going to have to get out of debt, right? Do you know spiritually some of the areas that Christians are subsistence farmers? That's why the Bible teaches restitutions. In other words, restitutions are paying your debts. That's what restitutions are. You owe someone something. And there are people that sometimes they it seems like they struggle. They're just in emergency mode all the time. And they're never gaining ground spiritually. It's like you've got to pay your debts before you can really prosper in your soul. Spiritually, folks, if there are restitutions that you need to make, you can't expect to prosper spiritually until you pay those spiritual debts. There are people I know, they have left a weight behind them of pain and hurt to people in their lives. And they never go back and say, Brother James, I'm sorry. Didn't treat you right. Will you forgive me, brother? I'm wanting to make it. And it seems like this thing is hinder. I'm sorry, brother. Folks, if you want to prosper spiritually, you're going to have to learn how to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Restitution. He that covereth his sins shall not what? Shall not prosper. If we deny financially the debt that we have, say, well, it's not that big of a deal. I've got plenty of money. You go out and you go to fine restaurants and buy nice clothes, and all the time you owe Bank of America thousands of dollars, you can't afford to go out to those restaurants. You owe a debt to somebody.
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Spiritually, it's the same way. We can come together and we can try to be inspired and have the Spirit of God breathe on us. But if you want life to work, we're going to have to do our part too.
Yeah.
I owe a debt. Mm-hmm. I owe a debt. Honey, will you forgive me? Children, husband, wife, people that you've worked with, can you say it's all clear this morning? You know, that causes subsistence Christians because there's something always holding them back. I want to encourage us to pay those debts if they need to be paid. Well, when we give some forethought and planning to what we're going to do spiritually, just like financially, we're going to think beyond ourselves. It's not just me that my decisions affect. It affects my wife. It affects my children. It affects the congregation where I'm at. Do you know that your decisions affect a lot of people? A lot of people spiritually. And if you want to prosper financially, you're going to have a plan in place. You can't just haphazardly. There are people that make a lot of money, and they're really poor because they have a bag with holes in it. Spiritually, it's the same way. Folks, we have so much that God has blessed us with. The Lord wants us to enjoy our salvation. He wants us to be rich and encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. But we're going to have to plug the holes. And if you want to prosper spiritually, I'd ask you this. What's your plan? Do you have a plan to prosper spiritually? You say, well, I don't know. I'm just kind of going along. And so shall thy poverty come. Spiritually, folks, we need to have some plans in place. And part of that, and there's so much more than what we're going to be able to bring out in our time this morning. But what direction do you want your home to go in? You have to start thinking then about the things you do, the places you go, the things you're going to allow. Is this going to benefit our home spiritually? Or is down the road there's going to be some negative consequences to this? In other words, I've got a plan. We're not going to do this because I've looked around and I've seen others. And I've seen what's worked in their life. You want to talk to someone that can tell you how to make money or save money. You want to talk to someone who's worked for, don't you? Some people have all the answers, but it's like, well, show me your bank account. Show me your bank account. You got all the answers. But do you know this morning that spiritually we need to look around and see what's worked for people?
Yeah.
And when you see God has been blessing people's lives, young people, don't easily discount the principles of holiness and carefulness that those that have gone before have lived. Because I've lived long enough to watch people that say, well, it doesn't spell it out in the Bible. And I watch what happens when people let those things go. And I look at the poverty that comes. So it means there's going to be something I want to learn from those that are prospering. I want to learn what made the difference for them. Because they were more than subsisting. They were rich in the Lord. I want to be wealthy in the Lord this morning. I want to be rich. Part of it also comes then from, we talk about growing in the Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. You want to grow? You're going to have to plug the holes if you want to start building that account up. Spiritually speaking, we need to grow in grace. Folks, that's a day-by-day thing.
Yes.
And how do we get grace? What's the key to grace? It's humility, isn't it? So Lord, today, I don't want to just be subsisting and barely making it through my tough times. So, Lord, today, would you help me to humble my heart, that I can start growing in love and in grace and in those that fruit of the Spirit. Because I want to be rich. Mm-hmm. Well, how do we get it then to humble? Do you know that we're going to have to spend some time reading and praying? This is practical now. This is practical. Bag with holes in it, folks. You need to increase the revenue, too. You can plug the holes, but you want to know how to increase your revenue? Get connected with God. That's the revenue stream. Sometimes you say, well, it seems like I've tried to plug all the holes, but I'm just, Lord, I need to get closer to you.
Yes.
That I can have more flooding in my heart that I have to use and work with in my life. Reading the Word of God, folks, it's important.
Yes.
And don't be discouraged, young people. Don't be discouraged when you read and it just seems like it's not always just enough to make you want to jump over a wall or something. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what I ate 5 days ago either, but I know it stuck with me. Mm-hmm. You know, the Word of God is the same way.
Yes.
You feed on that, folks. What you feed is going to grow.
Yes.
We don't want to have to be subsistence farmers. For subsistence Christians, I want something that's going to build up and stick with me.
Yes.
So it means I'm going to have to start being diligent and faithful every day, whether I feel like it or not. Lord, I'm going to spend time with you.
Yes.
And I'm going to read, and I'm going to pray and seek God. Lord, help me to get rid of the things that hinder my connection with God.
Yes.
You want to be rich? This is the answer. Camp meeting's wonderful. It can be wonderful. It can be a good thing. It is a good thing. But do you realize this meeting here is not going to see me through to the next meeting this year? I'm going to get connected with God. I'm going to have something flowing in from the Lord Himself.
Yes.
I don't want to be walking around with a spiritual bag of holes, folks. Get connected with God. Read and pray and foster that relationship with the Lord. And learn and apply yourself. Something else when we think about this in conjunction with investing. You know, even if some people say, I can't afford to invest. I don't have a lot. What do you have? Can you put away $5 a month? Can you put away $10 a month? And you don't want someone else coming looking at your budget usually, but, you know, cut out a couple of those drinks. You young people have $9. Well, I can't afford. You got $9. By a little bit of sacrifice. Well, spiritually, if you want to prosper, folks, we're going to have to invest something as well.
Yes.
I want to encourage us this morning to start investing in our home congregations. Because this is where it starts. Investing in our family and investing in the congregation means I am giving of myself. I'm investing in it. And there are going to be some returns from that. Sometimes I see people that are just, they're in survival mode. And sometimes you go to service and it's like, well, where are they? They couldn't make it today. And then they wonder why they're just barely surviving. And the Lord has done for them that Sunday. And it's like not that the minister's preaching at someone, but sometimes the Lord gives something and you look around and say, where is everybody? The Lord has something to eat on today and they didn't come to get it. You want to invest yourself and be part of what's going on. Do you know when there's a work day and there's jobs to be done and you're there ready to get to work and you vested yourself in that building? It's like I have part ownership now. I'm a part of this thing. It's not just the one on the edge. Folks, I want to tell you, subsistence Christians many times are living on the edges. Don't wait for someone to come along and say, prop you up. You go and get involved in what's going on. And I'm not talking about being a busybody going from house to house. I'm saying you get involved and be a support in the congregation. You get involved and be a support to your pastor. You get involved and be a part and be willing to pray. Be willing to sing. Be a part of what's going on. Folks, you want to talk about growing? Because I've invested, and now I'm growing, and all of a sudden this week has been better. It's like a little boy that went to Sunday school, and his mother asked him afterwards, she said, how was Sunday school? And he said, it was the best Sunday school ever. She said, well, what happened? He said, I prayed. Because I was a part. Yeah. I invested in something. Yeah. Do you know it'll do that for you spiritually? If we just take the blame, I've heard Brother James preach this one. But you start just piling everything in. Folks, we're going to get stuck. We've got it. Something's going to break. We need to start giving some of it out. But you say, well, we don't want to lose. No, I am investing when I give out.
Yes.
Because it's making me stronger.
Yes.
There are some things we go work for God and we sit back and say, Lord, wasn't even worth it. It doesn't seem like it prospered anything. And the Lord said, you're stronger. Yes, Lord. So help me to keep giving and help me to keep investing because I'm growing even if nobody else is. So if nobody else gets a blessing this morning, my purpose and determination is I don't want to be a subsistence Christian.
Amen.
I want to grow and amass spiritual wealth and be rich in the Lord. Well, there's so much more that could be said. But folks, let's go forward and invest in the things of God. Let's invest. Let's be part of it. And let's seek the Lord that make Him a priority. One more scripture in closing. Let's turn to Psalms 92. Psalms 92 and verse 14. Thank the Lord for those that have gone before us. It said, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree in verse 12, Psalm 92. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Folks, you want to flourish this morning? Get a plan. And it's just a little side note. If you struggle with reading the Bible, and it's just difficult for you to have that self-discipline, there's some things that can help you out. You get a little chart. You make up a plan to say, this day I'm going to read this, and you sit down and make up a plan. It'll help. It really does. Maybe if you have difficulty, get a good devotional to get take baby steps. Get you started in the right direction. If it's not 20 minutes, can you give 5 minutes? You've got a plan. You're headed the right direction. And then it said, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Someone did more than just subsistence Christianity there. Someone planted themselves and they were getting nourishment from the things of God because they were connected in their relationship with the Lord. And the result, maybe when they were young, they were tender and didn't see a lot of fruit. But because they invested, through time, they brought forth fruit. So you look and you see them fat and flourishing. Folks, I'm not so interested in the temporal and the physical this morning. There are some things that will help you out with that this morning. But most of all, I want to have a bag that can just collect the things of God. And I want to invest those things and use those things that I can be prosperous in my walk with God. Lord bless you all. I would that we be a spiritually fat and flourishing people. And not be subsistence Christians. God bless you.